gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the continental United States, here on the great app of Anchor, are the most mediocre forces of podcasting ever assembled. Superman.
Batman and Robin.
Wonder Woman. Aquaman. And the Nerdemy twins, Alan and Jonathan, with their space monkey, Gleek. Dedicated to tunes, comics, and toys for all NerdCon.
Hey, this is Jonathan.
And this is Alan, and welcome to the Nerdemy Podcast. Jonathan, what are we talking about today?
Alan, today we're getting our Wayback Machine, and we're stopping on a random Saturday in the 80s. We are talking about Saturday morning television / cartoons.
Oh, the best of times.
Yes. Before Cartoon Network, before Disney XD, before Nickelodeon. If you wanted your cartoons, there's only two ways you can get it. Well, three ways. Before or after school on the weekdays, or Saturday morning from 7 to noon.
Yeah. Yep. Again, the best of times. Now, did you have like a... I had a routine Saturday morning. Did you have a routine Saturday morning?
I did.
To prep yourself?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you... was it real hard for you to get up on the weekdays to go to school?
So hard. Like an animal on top of my head.
It really was. My mom would yell and, you know... it would really be a chore getting out of bed to go to school. Did you have that problem on Saturdays, though?
Oh, hell no.
So, routines. You want to talk about your Saturday morning routine?
Oh, sure. So, to not wake up my family, we had a TV downstairs. And I would go downstairs. I'd bring my blankie with me in the pillow. And I'd get myself a bowl of cereal. Whatever that may be at the time. Probably like Sugar Smacks. Or what's
the Not Honey Smacks. Sugar Smacks.
Yeah.
They were called Sugar Smacks. They used to use the word sugar in the titles of cereals until I don't know what year. But I remember Sugar Smacks sticks out in my brain because it used to be Sugar Smacks. And then all of a sudden it became Honey Smacks. I'm like, what?
I tell you, man. Sugar Smacks is just like a cup of coffee. It was amazing. You know? And so I go down there. Actually, let me go back even further than that. I was really bad. There was a time period where we would get what was called a TV guide every Sunday in the newspaper. And it'd tell you what was on TV, you know, what hour, what channel, and whatnot. And at the time, there weren't that many channels to begin with anyway. But I remember this. I remember I got in so much trouble. I would, find the Saturday morning, and I would have like a battle plan. You know, at 8 o'clock, the Smurfs would be on. And then after that, to switch to this channel to get this particular show. And I remember I had like a little pen and I was underlining the shows I wanted to watch. And I did that for, you know, I don't know how long I did that. And my brother found out what I was doing. And he took one of those things and he showed my dad. He goes, look what he's doing. He's freaking putting a schedule for his Saturday morning cartoons. I got in so much trouble for that I was like planning my 4-hour chunk of time. Hanging out in front of the television.
Why?
Because that's how I planned my morning. My morning was planned with watching cartoons in the morning, because my brother wasn't like that. My older brother, he wasn't into the Saturday morning cartoons. He was a dude that was going out, grabbing his bike, hanging out with his friends, and whatever. And he didn't do the Saturday morning cartoon thing like I did, and he thought it was like wrong, like what I was doing. And then, obviously my dad thought it was wrong too, because I got so much trouble for doing that. And I was like, oh, damn it. So, but that's what I did. I had like a plan of attack, what shows, what channels, and the TV guide. And then I'd bring that TV guide downstairs, and then got my pillow, got my blanket, my bowl of cereal, TV's on, and boom. It's go time.
It's go time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, your story is not unlike mine. I think it's the story of millions of kids at that time. Same thing, man. I'd have to sneak downstairs. The keyword was sneak, because if I, first of all, you don't wake up your parents, because I'm up probably around 6:30. You know, you don't wake up your parents because obviously they worked, or if they went out Friday night before, they're tired. So two reasons you don't want to wake up: A, because they're tired, and B, because you'll have to hear a lecture about how can you wake up at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, but I have to drag you out of bed to go to school at 8 o'clock during the weekday.
Right.
So you would, I would seek that, and you know, I came from a big family, but I was fortunate enough that, you know, like your older brother, none of my older brothers were into the Saturday morning cartoons. You know, when they woke up and had breakfast, they're out, you know, they're out the door. You didn't see them again until dinner time.
Right.
You know, with their friends and stuff like that. So, you know, I sneak downstairs. This is a weird thing I had when I was a kid. You remember Feeny pajamas? I don't know if they still make those.
Oh, but onesies, like onesies.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like a whole suit though. It was like the bottoms.
Really? You know, they only had pants with the feet with the feetsies on?
Yeah, and then I mean it'd be a set, but they'd be separate.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But you know the thing is, I loved Feeny pajamas, but I'd wear them for like twice or three times, and then I complained to my mom my feet were too hot, so she wound up cutting the feet off. But yeah, I just remember either sneaking down in my Feeny pajamas or in my cutoff Feeny pajamas. Right. And you're right, getting a bowl of cereal. And do you ever have that moment when you were getting your bowl of cereal and there was like only a little bit left of, let's say, the Fruit Loops. Right. And then there's only a little bit left of the Cocoa Puffs. And there's only a little bit left of the Lucky Charms. You're like, oh my God, I have to mix them. And you just pour it with all the dust. The dust is in there. And yeah, I would just mix my cereals if I had to. And I'd get a big bowl. I remember I'd get a big bowl, but I still eat with a teaspoon.
Yeah.
A tablespoon looked so huge to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, couldn't fit in your mouth.
Yeah, and I'd sit in front of the TV, and I was like, you know, I had a schedule of when I wanted to watch, of what I was watching and at what time.
Oh, did you do the same thing with a schedule?
Well, I would they would preview, or probably around August, you would start seeing ads in comic books.
Oh yeah,
for the upcoming season, and
oh yeah,
it was so fun. I mean, not just the cartoons, but do you remember like the primetime TV? They make a big deal about their new schedule and their new shows coming out.
Oh yeah,
do you remember they used to put on shows about the shows that were coming?
Mm-hmm.
And they make a huge deal about this. Well, they did that for Saturday morning cartoons. I remember one year, I think Rudy from the Huxtables from the Cosby Show hosted. I think Roseanne hosted one year. Where they're introducing all these cartoons. And so I get excited by the ads. I get excited by that half-hour show they put together to show you what's coming out. Yeah, I would never annoy my TV guides or anything. You know, I had two aunts that lived below us, and one of them collected TV guides. I don't know if you ever had anybody in your life that collected TV guides.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, you collect them? Yeah, they went from us. So I obviously couldn't write the TV guides. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Mint condition TV guides. And so, yeah, I would just know which shows I wanted to watch and what premiering shows I wanted to take a look at and things like that. It was all very organized. Probably the most organized I ever was as a child in terms of scheduling and such.
It's amazing how we had a plan of attack on this one.
Oh, yeah, we took it very seriously. That was our job. Like,
right.
Because, again, there was no video on demand or things like that. Even VHS wasn't really a thing at that point, you know.
Oh yeah.
So if you missed an episode, you missed. You were SOL.
That's right. Know? That's right. Yeah, you absolutely missed.
I know what's funny is we look back now and we were like, I think it was Spider-Man's Amazing Friends, and we're like, there was only like whatever 20 episodes. Like,
yeah.
And we're like, because we would watch it. I would watch that thing every Saturday.
Oh yeah.
And but that's why we remembered him so much, because we must have seen insane episodes. 1,000 times.
Oh, you know? Over and over again. Yeah. You knew it was a repeat, but you didn't care.
Yeah.
You'd watch it anyway. I mean, you know, when you and I were making our list of like what are our favorite cartoons, I mean, holy smokes, there was a lot. And I couldn't believe I was running through that list and I'm like, yeah, I've seen like I think everything on this page. You know, there must have been like hundreds, like, yeah, seen it all, you know. But there's only a few I would say that if I had to really think back, oh man, like I was really totally looking forward to particular shows, you know. But some of them were just there, you know, even though they were silly, like Pac-Man. I mean, right. Q-Bert had a cartoon at one time, and just silly shows. But you know, you'd watch them and everything.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we'd watch them to get to our next favorite show.
Oh, yeah,
it was like if there was a filler show, if there's like something in between two of your favorite shows, you're like, all right, I'll watch this one show in between.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we had the CBS, NBC, ABC, and you know, we're flipping back and forth between stations. And, yeah, I would watch a lot of filler shows. I would watch Pac-Man. I would watch The Littles. I would watch Mr. T. I would watch Hulk Hogan. You know, I would watch these filler shows, and I'm like, all right, whatever, it is what it is. But do you remember the feeling of like when your favorite show was coming on, and you know, chances are it'd be a repeat. But if your favorite show comes on, it's a repeat, but it's like one of the maybe three that you don't like, and you're like, oh, man.
Not that one again.
Yeah. Because there was a Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends episode where they go to Hollywood and the Hulk's in it, and I hated that episode.
Oh, dude, I hated Swarm. That was annoying to me.
Yeah. But, yeah, and the thing was, and you know, talking about filler shows and suffering, Spider-Man was paired up with Incredible Hulk, and I hated the Incredible Hulk show.
Yeah, that but was
boring. I think they put the Hulk on before Spider-Man, so I'm like, I guess I'll sit through the Hulk.
You know, the tough thing, too, is that back in the day, if you would have, you know, two shows coming at the same time, it's like I was in turmoil. I'm like, oh, what do I do? You know, do I do this one, do that one? And, you know, it's not as easy today where you actually, like, have a remote control. Yeah, I mean, you have to physically get up from your spot, go to the television, turn the dial, flip the channels, and then sit back down again. I mean, it was a chore. I mean, we had it rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and when I was really young, it was black and white for a while there. Like, we didn't have a color TV, I think, until maybe 1980-81 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
I remember just turning on the television, you had to wait because it had to warm up a little bit.
Yeah. And it was great, and they were so, you know, looking back now, we were so manipulated as children, but like, there was no reason to get up from the TV. Like, commercials were, like, fun, too. There was, you know, they had these cartoon commercials. Remember, was it Crest Cavity Fighters?
Oh,
Cavity Creeps.
Yes,
we
make
holes in teeth. Yeah. We, like, even the cartoons were, I mean, even the commercials were cartoony, and some of them even told stories, like, you know, about the Hostess commercials with, like, Twinkie the Kid, and they would do a lot of educational programming.
Yeah.
Remember the guy, he wore a cowboy hat, I think, and I think he was...
He had like a cane. A
proponent for dairy, right? Was it, or just eating healthy, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. With the veggies and stuff.
Yeah, and then he would always sing, there was a part of his song would be like, I hanker for a hunk of cheese. Right? You know, I was just like, what is this? But, and then, of course, the always popular... Very educational, Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, those are the best.
Yeah, you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. The tunes were so catchy, and it was funny because they were doing like mind tricks on you because they were making education like super fun and memorable.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, so Schoolhouse Rock came on. They're about three to 4 minute shorts on a topic. It could be math, English, grammar, or. History, right? And they would come on in between, not during commercials or shows, but in between, like a show would end, in between two shows coming on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So, yeah, and they did Multiplication Rock. And there was Multiplication Rock where they did two, they had a song for, you know, your two times tables, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1, 4, 0. They left one out, I guess, because they're like, look, if you can't handle one. and then there was my favorite, of course, were always the American History Rocks. Shot Heard Around the World. Still something about King George.
Wasn't there something like, I'm Just a Bill?
Yeah, I'm Just a Bill.
Yeah. You
know, about government, which is probably, I would say probably their most famous one is I'm Just a Bill.
I like the one with adverbs. Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here.
Yeah, adverbs, yeah. Oh, yeah, lolly, get your adverbs here, yeah. Which would serve you well later in life. Yeah, so they had adverbs, they had adjectives, unpack your adjectives. They had verbs. Conjunction, junction, that's a pretty popular one, too.
How about electricity?
Oh, yeah, they had science. We forgot science, yeah.
Yeah.
Electricity, they had the, it's called the nervous system, Interplanet Janet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had all of it. Look, listeners, if you don't know what Schoolhouse Rock is or you haven't thought about it since the 80s, go on YouTube and watch these videos. They're fantastic. And I will tell you this, Alan, in the mid to late 90s, a bunch of, I guess, alternative music bands put out a record called Schoolhouse Rock Rocks.
Oh, that was a cool one, yeah.
Yeah, which I do have, and it's really good. Like, Blind Melon does Three is a Magic Number. You know, and other things like that. So, Saturday Morning Cartoons. And I wonder, you know, because of the health education and the Schoolhouse Rock stuff, I wonder if that was mandated by the government. Like, if you're going to have a kid sitting in front of the TV for 4 hours, you better put some educational on.
You know, it's funny you brought that up, because there is something, because I was trying to figure out, like, what stopped it. And the government didn't get involved. They started something called, like, the Children's Television Act, which they had to do something educational. And in most instances, it was mostly, like, you know, animals, pets, and things like that. And obviously, those are live action. And so they were really squeezing out, like, the cartoon-based cartoon stuff and putting some live-action stuff in there. But they had to have, like, educational things. And that was, like, mandated by the freaking government. And it almost seems like they were trying to stop the Saturday morning cartoon thing in general.
Huh. That's interesting. Because we know the after-school shows had to, because G.I. Joe would do One to Grow, not One to Grow, they'd do, what's that called?
Now You Know.
And Now You Know, Noah's Half the Battle.
Right.
So yeah, I guess, I mean, in a way, it's pretty ingenious if you think about it, you know, because we did learn, you know, whether we knew it or not, we were learning. Or I don't know, I'm not saying multiplication rock, Schoolhouse Rock is why I know my times table, but I can sing those threes like nobody's business. And you know, I have friends that are teachers and such, and they a lot of them do use Schoolhouse Rock in their classrooms.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they go, yeah, the kids will sing it, and you'll hear them. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you then. What were your, like, your let's say, one of your top shows? Like, what was that go-to cartoon for you that you just could not miss?
Oh, it's easily Amazing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, that is amazing.
I love that show so much.
Yeah.
Like, and like I said, I was shocked as an adult when I found out there was only, like 1.5 seasons or something like that, right?
Well, it ran for 4 seasons, but each season was super brief. Like, each season only had, like, 6 or 8 episodes, you know? And I think the 3rd season was super short. It was, like, 3 episodes. But, like you said earlier, they would just keep cycling through all the shows every Saturday morning and stuff. But, yeah, it didn't have a very, very long run.
I can honestly say it's because of Saturday morning cartoons that I probably got my love for comic books and picking up comic books, and it definitely informs that, along with Star Wars. It definitely informs the life what I'm doing right now in terms of my interest and things like that. So I'm on IMDb. There was only 24 total episodes of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, it's very, very short.
Which is insane to think that there was only 24 episodes.
Yeah, as a kid, I thought there was probably like 100.
Yeah.
You'd watch them over again. But those were great, great shows. I mean, you would have, like, Spider-Man, who was probably like the face of Marvel at the time. But, you know, as a kid, you didn't know that. But mm-hmm. He was like your main guy. And then you'd have your two polar opposites. You'd have Iceman and Firestar. And Iceman, which I didn't know till later, you know, they portray Iceman, Bobby Drake, with blonde hair. To tell the difference between him and Peter. But in the comic books, he's got brown hair, which I thought was, you know, when I saw in the comic book, I'm like, wait, that's not his hair color. And they're like, no, it really is brown. In the cartoon, they made it blonde. I said, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, so we did a whole episode on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. One of our, I think it was our second ever episode. Second, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're listening, you haven't listened to our archives, please go back and
back in the day.
Forgive some of the sound quality, but other than that, the content should be pretty good. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, but and we both loved it. That's why we dedicated a whole episode of our podcast to it. But yeah, it was great. And like, Firestar was invented for that show. She didn't exist at all until then. But you know, the way they weaved in and out of the other characters from Marvel Universe, just a really great show. And I would say, I mean, I point at Spider-Man's Amazing Friends as my favorite all time, but you know, there were different iterations of Spider-Man shows on Saturday mornings.
Right.
So you could kind of, for me, encapsulate all of them because I loved Spider-Man growing up.
Oh, they're all awesome. I mean, yeah. Like, even for me, like, Firestar's, you know, real name was Angelica Jones, and that's who my daughter is named after. It's Angelica. So I really, really loved that particular cartoon. It was so influential. And you know, it was neat, too, because after, you know, watching the cartoons of Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, they use, like, real, you know, comic book villains that I wasn't familiar with. Like the Juggernaut, Magneto, and stuff. And then when you'd read in the comic books, like, oh, I know who this guy is. So, like, you felt like you're in on it, too, which is
pretty cool. Right,
right. Yeah.
Okay, so what was one of your favorite ones?
Oh, man, this is... I love the freaking Smurfs. I was freaking obsessed with them. I collected the little Smurf guys and stuff, and they were just so cute. You know, like, it was such a bizarre thing to have... I don't know how many Smurfs there were on the show, maybe like 100 Smurfs, and... There was like one Papa Smurf and one Smurfette, and that's about it. You know?
And the rest was like brainy and hefty.
Yeah, and each Smurf was more like a personality or more like an occupation, whatever. And their only bad guy was Gargamel and his cat Azrael. And it was the same freaking thing every single show. Was Gargamel was trying to catch up the Smurfs. Smurfs trying to do their own thing and
right.
get away. It was the same story over and over again. But I absolutely adored that show.
I like the Smurfs too. I watched it also. I think it hit a shark when Johan and Pee Wee and the little Smurfs, like the Smurf with the red hair. And like there was like three or four baby Smurfs that were introduced.
There was like Grandpa Smurf.
Right, right, right. But yeah, there was something about the Smurfs that just, I don't know. It was a very appealing to kids. I mean, they became huge, maybe even a global phenomenon. And I didn't collect the little ones like you did. I think I have one or two of them. I think about the ones I liked. I can't even tell you who I liked anymore. But yeah, they were huge, and they spun off the Snorkels. They spun off all these other shows about little creatures. I'm trying to think of the Gummy Bears. You could say is probably a spinoff of the Smurfs.
Oh sure.
You know, and you're right. Snorkels wasn't. I could watch an episode of Snorkels. I didn't love it, but I could watch the Snorkels. I couldn't sit through an episode of Gummy Bears. So I was like, what am I looking at?
You know, when I watch the Snorkels, I remember as a kid thinking, "This is the Smurfs. What are they doing? This is a complete ripoff of the Smurfs."
Well, and that's what happened when something hit like the Smurfs, which was so different. Nothing like it was on TV at that point. Well, on Saturday morning cartoons, everybody started copying it. You know,
yeah,
just like when
the Smurfs,
you know, like when we were a lot younger in the mid 70s, you know, I don't know who had it first, but you know, let's say the Jackson 5 cartoon came out. Well, everybody loved that. Well, then guess who got a cartoon after them? The Osmond Brothers. And who got one out? The Brady Kids. Yeah. You know, and then the Brady Kids got one. So it was a little crazy, but so the Smurfs spun off quite a few. That's a good one, dude. That's a good one. I respect that.
Thank you.
Dude, I ain't gonna play you like, you know, I know we're in our mid-40s and we're men, but I'm not gonna sit here and make you feel bad. I watched the Smurfs too. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, I'm not gonna, when they had that live action Smurf movie that came out recently, I was like, oh wow, they're making a Smurf movie. How cool is that, you know?
Did you go?
Yeah, I went.
Did you enjoy?
Did I enjoy? It was there. Definitely not the same vibe when I was a kid, but it was there. But you know, I collected the toys and I remember, shoot, you know, when we were like second grade when the show came out, maybe, and even then, you know, there was Dr. Smurf. I'm like, ooh, doctor, yes, I'm gonna be a doctor, you know. and the Smurf to get, my buddy Albert, he collected as well. But the funny thing was, the Smurf to get was called Pointer Smurf, because he looked like a normal Smurf. There was no like accessory. He was just pointing. Right. And that was the Smurf that you always had to try and find, because he was tough to find, because he was just a very plain generic Smurf. He didn't have like his flying wings. He didn't have his vanity mirror and stuff like that. So that was the chaser at the time, was the chaser Smurf. And the only reason why I got it was, you know, like they had Smurfs and like they had like a little pedestal, like a, looks like a little trophy, but had like a saying on it, whatever.
Right.
The one that I wanted, I mean, there was Pointer Smurf. Like, oh, that's it. I got it. So I bought that stupid thing, went home, took a knife, lopped off the base, and I got my Pointer Smurf.
So you cheated.
I cheated, yes. Well,
wow.
It is what it is.
He's going for He's going for 30 bucks on eBay.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
Yeah, see, I would think, oh my gosh, Indian Chief Smurf, I had him.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. What? You would think the generic Smurf would be plentiful, like nobody would pick him up. You'd think he'd be all over the place.
Yeah.
So you think it was they just didn't make a lot of him, or?
Well, the popular ones were like, because they had like the Hefty Smurf, they had the Handy Smurfs. So those were the ones that kind of reflected on the show. Pointer Smurf was the generic Smurf. He was like the everyday, he was like the Smurf in the background Smurf.
Right.
But he was cool because he was just a plain Smurf and it was hard to find. Well, I don't know if it was hard to find.
That's what I'm saying.
I just remember I wanted it. I didn't know why I wanted it though.
Yeah, I wonder why he was hard to find. Or maybe because he was a generic Smurf, everybody was buying him.
I don't know.
So he was, yeah. So, yeah, and speaking of Smurfs, like, a few years ago, like, when Farmville and all that became huge.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing a game called Smurf Village.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I just kind of lost interest in it. Yeah, he's going for $27.75 is the cheapest I see him on eBay right now.
Holy crap.
And he's pretty faded, too. This nice blue one is going for $38.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have him anymore?
Pointer Smurf, probably no, but I do have a handful of my older Smurfs.
Kind of shaped in.
I would say probably still good. I mean, they're not like ziplocked or anything, but they're in the secret stash someplace. You know what I'm saying?
On eBay, bro. All right. Yeah. So the Smurfs.
Yeah.
All right. My next one is another superhero show.
Mm-hmm.
And it spanned many years and had it changed. I feel like it changed its name every year.
Oh.
It's the Super Friends, but specifically the year there was Challenge of the Super Friends.
Oh yeah.
Because that whole season was they fought the Legion of Doom.
Right.
And then they morphed a couple of years later they morphed into the Superpower Show.
Mm-hmm.
Which coincided, and this is I was reading comics at the time. The Superpower Show was really just to sell the toys, the Superpower toys, which were pretty awesome for the day.
Yes.
And there was a comic book also, there was a Superpowers limited series.
I love those toys. But, I love
them. They were awesome toys. Yeah. Because there were really, except for the Migos, there really wasn't like any DC action figures. And Migos at this point were kind of fading away.
Right.
We've talked about G.I. Joe and Transformers toys and even Star Wars toys. But there was always room in my collection for a Superpower toy and later on the Secret War toy from Marvel.
Right.
Those
Secret War toys are cool too.
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong. Like, if you couldn't find me a G.I. Joe toy or something for Christmas, picking up a superpower, I'd be fine.
You're good to go.
But the Challenge of the Super Friends season was so awesome because they fought the Legion of Doom. It was their... I don't know if the Legion of Doom existed in comic books at the time or ever. If it was just made for the cartoon. But it was the major villain to every hero. So
their
Superman...
Their counterparts, yeah.
Right. So Superman had Lex Luthor, Batman had the Joker, Wonder Woman had Cheetah, Aquaman had Black Manta. Everybody, who else was on the team? Solomon Grundy was on the team. Help me out here.
Aquaman had the Black Manta.
Toy Master, right? Toy Maker or Toy Man?
Who's
Toy
he Man, I think it is. Against who?
He might have been a Flash.
Flash?
Oh, no. Captain Cold was on the team, too, right?
Wow, I don't remember.
All right. Let me look it up real quick.
Well, you'd figure the Flash's nemesis would be Mr. Slow Guy. he does things so slow that it just annoys the Flash.
He slows down time.
Yeah.
So the Flash can't run quick.
Right. So for from their point of view, they're just normal.
Okay. So let me see here. There was... they had the best headquarters. See, that came up out of the swamp.
Oh, yeah. That was sick.
That skull-looking thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
Darth Vader's helmet.
Yeah. And it was the basis for the Gulag in the Kingdom Come trade paperback.
That was sick.
It really was.
Yeah.
So you got Lex Luthor, Bizarro, right? Was Bizarro in it? Yeah, I'm confusing myself.
Because there's so many iterations of that Super Friends show.
Right. But they only did the challenge 1 year, and that was the year of Legion of Doom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's Lex Luthor. It's great. They're having like a meeting. They're doing Robert's Rules. He's got a gavel out. He's taking attendance. Lex Luthor's taking attendance.
Oh, that's cool. All
right, so you got Lex Luthor, Captain Cold, Sinestro. How did I forget Sinestro? Bizarro, Superman, and Solomon Grundy. Brainiac and Cheetah.
Wow.
Black Manta, Gorilla Grodd. So it was more than just one per superhero. It was Toyman the Riddler.
Wow. I don't remember the
Toyman. Well, Batman got a bunch. Scarecrow and Giganta, is that her name?
I think so.
The girl that got big, and Luther, yeah. So that's awesome. Wow. So even today you can feel the impact of the Legion of Doom because of, as we discussed recently, Mark Snyder? I don't know, I forgot his name, but the guy that's currently writing the new Justice League series, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, his first story arc is going to have his version of the Legion of Doom.
Right. That's awesome.
But those were the best. They were less campy, because I think the Super Friends, like with Wendy and Marvin...
That was kind of campy.
And even the Wonder Twins,
yeah,
they were kind of campy.
Yeah.
So I found the challenge of the Super Friends episodes just really a little bit more, less campy, a little bit more dramatic. They were great episodes. Remember the one that sticks out is the one where it looks like they killed all of the Super Friends?
Oh, yeah? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how it goes. Man, I got to see if this is on DVD or on YouTube or anything like that. I got to watch these again. But there was an episode where it looked like they killed, like the Justice League faked their own deaths and to convince the Legion of Doom that they killed them. And I forgot why they did that, but it was really good.
Oh, cool. They'll look that one up.
Yeah, so even back then, dude, I was way up into the superheroes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Without Saturday morning cartoons, there's probably no nerd in me, you know?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. All mm-hmm. right. Next one?
Let's see. One of my other favorite Saturday morning cartoons, and I mentioned in a previous podcast where we did like favorite weapons of the 80s, is Dungeons & Dragons, and which it follows a group of kids that they go through like a roller coaster, I think, at a theme park, and they get sucked into the realm of Dungeons & Dragons. And each of the kids had, like, you know, like in the real game Dungeons & Dragons, there was, like, a ranger, there's a cavalier, the acrobat, magician, thief, barbarian, and a freaking unicorn. But there's something so awesome about the show, because I was kind of into playing Dungeons & Dragons at the time, but I'm not too sure, thinking back, which came first. Was it the cartoon or the game for me playing it? I'm leaning towards maybe the cartoon came first. Because I remember when I was playing Dungeons & Dragons, I wanted to make... You know, I wanted to make Hank. I wanted to make the Ranger and stuff. But, that was such a cool show because it was a really neat dynamics. You have Hank. He was a Ranger. He had this thing called the Energy Bow, where it was basically unlimited arrows, but it was shooting energy. And he was actually voiced by Willie Ames. Do you remember that guy from Charles in Charge?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What was his name of the show? Was it Buddy or something like that? I don't remember.
Charles in Charge. Yeah, he was Buddy.
He was Buddy. Yeah, yeah. He was also, yeah. And let's see, Eric the Cavalier, who was voiced by Don Most, who was Ralph Mouth on Happy Days. And then you had an acrobat, like I said, the magician Presto and Sheila. It was neat because he had all these particular powers and whatnot, and the nemesis was this guy named Venger who was trying to kill him and everything. And each episode was something like that. It was a different kind of adventure. What's really cool about this cartoon, though, was, you know, years later, you know, obviously the show is over and stuff, but they got a couple of the original voice actors to come by to do the very last show. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and so what they did was they got some of the voice actors, and they actually played out the end of the show, which they never did in the cartoons. And so if you go on YouTube, you can actually hear this audio thing. I think it's about 20 minutes long. And they actually told the ending of the show, because you always wonder, did they ever make it home? And right. The cartoons, they never got into that. But in this particular YouTube audio thing, they actually gave the conclusion. And they had the original voices of Diana, who was the acrobat, was in it, and... No, she wasn't the acrobat. She was a thief. Yeah, Diana the acrobat. Sheila was a thief. I'm sorry. And so they got some of the real voice actors to come back and tell the end of the story, which I'm not going to share with you, because if you like the show and you didn't know there was an actual ending, find it. It's really cool how they did it. It starts off just like the cartoon, and they play all the pieces of all the characters in it. But I love that show. Uni, oh, wow. I hated, though. Uni was like freaking... What's the name of that stupid wizard from He-Man?
Orko.
Orko. I can't stand those little
oddball characters. Right?
Oh, they're Snarf. I can't stand the Snarf those
for the
guys.
Orko, yeah.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. I guess they're comic relief or something. I don't know.
They're not even comical. They're just annoying, you know?
Yeah, I don't know why they include those things. Or Herbie the Robot from Fantastic Four.
Orko.
Yeah, you're right. They all had them. Orko, Snarf.
Snarf is probably the worst, I would have to say.
I hated Snarf. I hated Orko. Even Miss Lion was pretty cool, though.
Miss Lion is the exception, yes.
She saved the day every once in a while.
She sure did, yeah.
She's the eighth little superhero.
Oh.
yeah, man, Dungeons & Dragons, I didn't watch it as fanatically as you did. I wasn't as huge a fan, but I did enjoy it. I liked Don Most's character because he had the shield.
Oh, the capillary,
Yeah, it was bothering me that they never kind of worked out a way that everyone, I don't know, I just wanted him to have a sword. I'm like, if he has a shield, why wouldn't he have a sword?
Yeah, that's a good point. That annoyed me, too. It's like, you give him a shield, and he's got the armor. You know, he's got, like, some metal plating, whatever, but he doesn't carry it. Maybe because it was a Saturday morning cartoon, they couldn't give him a sword. You know, what would he do with it? You couldn't see him stabbing, like, the little frog people, whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I hated the little kid, too. I hated him.
I know. You give the kid a freaking club, and he's just, like, smashing everything. Yeah, Bobby was annoying.
It's like if Bam Bam got sent to a different room.
Bam Bam, that's right. Yeah. So, and this was actually a Marvel production also.
It was a good show. It had not mature, but it wasn't as campy. It wasn't campy at all, actually, and the stories were good.
It was a downer and there show, were man.
Yeah, and there were stakes in it. Didn't they do a story where Venger was a wasn't he like the student of the main wizard dude, the little guy that's supposed to be Yoda?
Oh, Dungeon Master, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he start off good or something like that?
I remember they alluded to that but I don't remember. Well,
how many seasons was it on?
What was that?
How many seasons was it on?
It was on for 2 years, 83 to 85.
Oh, okay.
83 seasons.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's good stuff. But I implore you, if you like this cartoon, check out YouTube. Look, I think it's called Requiem, actually. And listen to it. It's a really nice ending to the show. It's actually cool to have closure for a cartoon that was canceled. You don't usually see that a lot in cartoons. When it's canceled, it's done, you know? And for these guys, the whole gist of the show was, can they make it home? And they'd always come close also, you know? Oh, I remember one episode, they actually did make it home. They had to come back again because I think someone was left behind and they don't want to leave someone behind, so they went back. It was
probably Ralph Mouth. They treated him like garbage.
I know. I guess you need one of those in a group too. Okay, yeah. So that's Dungeons & Dragons.
Very cool. Dungeons & Dragons. All right, my next one is Muppet Babies, blah, blah, blah. I freaking love the Muppet Babies. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why. I'm 30, 40 years later, I can't tell you why. I don't know. But I love the Muppet Show. It's coming 7:30 on, I believe, Channel 2.
Yeah.
Every day, the Muppet Show.
That's right.
The Muppet Show is awesome.
They have live guests. Like Mark Hamill was a guest on the show.
Yeah, Mark Hamill, was it? I think it wasn't Sylvester Stallone. I think they advertised it as Rocky Balboa. Like, I know there was one or two shows where they had the guest come on as
the character.
Their character, yeah. I think, I don't know why, but yeah, the Muppet Show was great. And that morphed into Muppet Babies, which I think might have started this whole let's take these characters and make them young thing. That kind of went running after that.
Right.
But I love Muppet Babies. Muppet Babies because they had a nanny, and you only ever saw her feet, like her legs, and she would talk to them. And you always saw a thing at their point of view. It was nothing ever higher. And they always had these capers, and it was Gonzo and Miss Piggy and Kermit and Fozzie and Skeeter and Scooter. I think Animal was there, too. Yeah, they were cute, and they had these adventures, like their imaginations. Like, they would be in Star Wars, you know, and they would be Indiana Jones. You know, I mean, if you just watch the intro to it, it's pretty cool. But I don't know why, I just loved watching the Muppet Babies. And I really was like, the requirement is like, I don't, even at that age, I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to like this.
What do you mean?
Because it's for babies, you know, isn't it?
Oh, I see, I gotcha, yeah.
You know, but I couldn't get enough of it. And I think at one point, it was even on in syndication after school or maybe before school during the weekdays. Because mm-hmm. I know I remember watching it more than once a week.
Now, did you have a favorite character?
Oh, I love Kermit. I love Kermit. Kermit's the man.
He's the man.
I love Kermit. I'm so sick of Miss Piggy.
Oh, she's so annoying. Better. Yeah, he can.
Yeah. And Ralph. Ralph. Remember Ralph? I do. Dolly plays the piano. Yeah, I just really, and just this, the concept that all, well, first of all, concept that they're all babies together in this, I guess, a daycare center.
Yeah.
And then they grow up and have a show together. It's just, I don't know.
It's cute.
Just really, I couldn't tell you why. I can't tell you why I loved the Muppets. It was cute. The stories are great. Because they did, like I said, they would have an Indiana Jones episode. They'd have a Star Wars episode.
Right.
They would have all these different kind of episodes. And it was just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think it started out for me as like a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just really started to enjoy it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, that's a cute one. Man, I haven't thought about that one in such a long time.
Muppet babies will do the same for you. Gotcha. When your world looks kind of weird. And you wish you were my... That's my Kermit, sorry.
Right. Frog left.
Bear left, right, frog.
Wait, no, what did he say? Bear right. Frog left. No. Isn't that what it is?
In the Muppet movie, they're driving. Fozzie's driving, and Kermit's giving him direction. And he goes, bear left. He goes, right, frog. It's just such a stupid moment, but hilarious. And you know, Kermit does the double look at him, like double take. Yeah, right.
that serious that look on Kermit's face, of like what? Oh, that's good.
Right and left, right for all. Yeah.
Let's see.
I remember. Let me take a detour real quick. I could have sworn because I used to do that all the time at college, and our mutual friend Fred, right. he didn't remember it. Yeah. He goes, you're crazy. That never happened. He goes, you must have got that from a cartoon. So I said, no, it's in the Muppet movie. And he goes, well, my sister's got it on tape. So we went back to his house, and we're watching the Muppet movie. And we fast forward to the driving scene. And at the part I thought it was at, it wasn't there. And we're watching. He goes, I told you it was. I'm like, no, it's got to be there. But there was like a minute there where I really thought I was crazy. Where I'm like, what? Did I imagine this scene? And it came maybe like 10 minutes after I thought it was. So I'm like, no, it's got to be here. And we watched it. God. And then when it came on, I was like, yeah. I don't know if you remember Freddy's house. I'm jumping up in his living room. I'm like, I told you it was there.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's cool.
All right, Muppet Babies. How about you?
Let's see. My next one is a cartoon called The Herculoids.
I remember The Herculoids.
Remember them? This was a Hanna-Barbera production. Hanna-Barbera, they had, like a whole bunch of cartoons. I don't even remember if they were running at a particular time period, but I mean, like, they had The Herculoids. There was like, there's a whole bunch of crap that they did. But anyway, The Herculoids really stands out to me. It was kind of like in the same vein as maybe like Thundar the Barbarian, that kind of like space whatever, but it was kind of like a family, and it was weird because they were kind of like, I don't know, like primitive times, I guess, but they're in the future at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it was really weird. There were shows like that where they were on a different planet or in space, and they might have laser weapons and stuff, but they were like cavemen.
They had regular like cavemen kind of clothes and stuff, nothing sophisticated. But it was there was a husband and wife, Xandor, Tara. Xandor is the leader of the group of the Herculoids. Tara was his wife, and they had a son named Dorno. And it was what I thought was funny was that the son would call Xandor Xandor, like he never said dad. He called him by the first name, and Xandor's weapon was a slingshot, I think. And I don't remember what Tara's...
Energy slingshot?
I think it was. It was like an energy slingshot. But that was the thing with this group, is that energy was a big thing, because they had this flying dragon. His name was Zok. And he would shoot like laser beams out of his eyes and his tail. He was cool. And then this big like gorilla guy named Igu, I think his name was. Like this big, I don't know, like King Kong. But he was kind of glowing at the same time. And so he was like their muscle of the group. And then there's this guy called Tundro, who was like a mix of a rhinoceros and like a triceratops. And out of his horn, he would shoot these energy rocks or something that would explode.
Yeah, I remember.
And he
had that.
Armor. But pew, pew, pew. Yeah, and he had like like eight legs or something like that. I don't know. It was something bizarre. And then he had these two things like Gloop and Gleep, which were just blobs.
Weren't they schmooze?
they kind of remind me of Schmooze, but they were like glowy, whatever. One was taller than the other. So it was like that group of people, and they went on their adventures, but it was such a weird group, like just bizarre. But I remember when it would come on, because it was like I said, Hanna-Barbera. It almost seems like you weren't too sure what show they were going to put in for Hanna-Barbera. And right. So when the Hercules came on, I was like, oh man, score, it's the Hercules this time. And you get to sit and watch their shows. But
well, now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, the thing about these is, like, the Hercules was a late 60s show. But the fact that you and I watched them is, like, they would rerun these shows for years. Yeah. So it's almost kind of hard. You know, when we talked about making our list, we were like, all right, well, pick your favorite 80s shows. Well, we're like, all right, is this an 80s show? I don't know. Well, when did it come out? You know, like, these things are on for years in reruns. That whole Hanna-Barbera thing, that, you know, you're talking to Hercules, the
late 60s.
The Wacky Racers, yeah. The, you know, all those Hanna-Barbera shows. Like, we talk about Captain Caveman, the Shmoo, Hong Kong Phooey. These are all things that I think premiered in, like, the late 60s.
Yeah.
But they were still on TV in the late 70s and early 80s when we were growing up. Oh, yeah. We didn't know any better. Birdman.
Birdman!
Yeah.
So, wasn't there a guy named, like, Tor? Like, he had like a club and a cape and mask, and I thought it was Tor. Well, I could be wrong. Anyway, and he kind of changed his look like Thor did. You know, he had like a secret identity also. Tor. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just it's so weird that we were watching shows that. Well, I mean, your brother's only maybe 4 years older than you, but I have brothers that are like 10 to 12 years older than me.
Right.
So it's weird now, looking back now, that I was watching cartoons that they were watching when they were kids. So.
Oh, it's called The Mighty Tor. That's what it was.
The Mighty... that doesn't sound like a ripoff at all. Did he have a hammer?
Pretty much. It was a club, and he... Yeah. The Mighty Tor. That guy was cool. But, you know, between him, Mighty Tor, Space Ghost.
He's got a loincloth on.
Yeah.
How am I looking at?
Mighty Tor, Space Ghost, and Blue Falcon. To me, they're all kind of like the same guy. You know?
Wait, is it Mitor or Mighty Tor?
I think his name was Mitor. The Mighty Mitor.
The Mighty Mitor.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Too much.
Yeah. The Mighty Tor.
But he's got like a helmet with horns on. Well, not a helmet, like a mask with horns on it.
It's got the cape comes from the helmet.
Okay, he's got the cape. Yeah, it's almost like a bison, like he almost put a bison's head and skin on or something.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a loincloth, and he's got a big old club.
Yeah, it's awesome. So between him, Space Ghost, and the Blue Falcon, and Dino-Mutt, those three guys always just seem like the same guy, just in different time periods.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Hercules, and that mom is not wearing much of anything. What the heck? What is going on here?
Of all the things you pick up, that's what you're picking up.
Well, you know, it's in this day and age, you got to be careful of those things.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that was a great show. I liked the Hercules. I just loved the. You're right. The dragon would shoot beams from his eyes and his tail for some reason. Yeah. I never understood the tail thing. I'm like, I get the eyes. There's like, you know, there's a gateway. There's a pathway for the energy beams. But all of a sudden, the tail's shooting stuff.
Yeah.
But I love the rocks that the dude would shoot out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was cool. Xandor had a slingshot, and he had a little mini shield that he just slung over his shoulder. What a stud. Yeah, and
the rocks, like, it was a regular slingshot. It wasn't energy. Like, I was thinking, like, Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, it's just
bow.
A regular slingshot.
Yeah, but the rocks would explode.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, so cool.
All right, my next one. I cheated a little bit. We did say Saturday morning cartoons. I took a Sunday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
And this is a cartoon that came out like 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And I would wake up. And this is another thing that would get my mom mad, because I'd wake up for this half hour show, and I'd go back to bed, and I wouldn't get up for church.
Right.
So this is Robotech. It's not my first foray into Japanese anime. Mm-hmm. I had watched Star Blazers, which I loved.
Star Blazers.
But I didn't follow Star Blazers the way I followed Robotech. Like, I made sure I was up for Star Blazers. Robotech every Sunday.
Robotech was like an anime soap opera.
Oh, Robotech was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they moved it to weekdays at like 6. So I was getting it 5 days a week, which was awesome. I would tape it, or maybe it came on when I left for school already. But there was, I remember watching it when I got home on tape. Like we had a VCR at that point. But I loved it. And you're right, it was a serialized cartoon. Right. It was actually three different Japanese animations, cartoons put together to form one long story. There's three generations. Generation. I mean, I loved this story so much. I've read all the books. I bought all the books. I read them. I tried to get into the toys, but Mattel screwed up the license for them. They were not. They were basically, because, you know, if you collect the Transformers, there was Jetfire. He was the Robotech Valkyrie. He was supposed to be the Robotech ship. But they licensed that to Hasbro. So, like, Robotech couldn't even make a toy of their most famous ship.
Right.
Yeah, so
Jetfire is a Transformer, right?
Right, but he was a Valkyrie in
that was called sick. Valkyrie.
Yeah,
he really was sick.
He was.
Oh, so
but cool. I love Robotech. It was a soap opera. Rick Hunter, Lisa Hayes, Lin-Manuel May, the Zentradi. I just love that show. I mean, one of the first cartoons where there was death like on a daily basis. You know, the premise is an alien spaceship crashes to Earth. The Earth was at war, crashes to Earth. The Earth, they end all their wars so they could study the ship, and they build a technology out of it. They call it robotechnology, where their ships transform and things. But then this alien race is trying to come to get their ship 10 years later, and it's just about the battle. And Earth gets decimated like 4 different times. It's insane. Insane.
That's a cool one.
But that was like my real introduction to Japanese anime. Like, I watch Battle of the Planets, I watch Robotech, Star Blazers, but this is the one where I really kind of got real into it.
Yeah, that show was big, very big.
It was huge. Still today they make comic books about it. There's plans somewhere for a Robotech live action movie.
Really?
Yeah, Japan actually did a Star Blazers live action movie. Wow. Came out in Japan. I don't know how it did though.
Right. Ow.
Yep. But yeah, Robotech.
Cool.
Sunday mornings.
Yeah. My show, very similar to yours. I'm not too sure if this was technically Saturday morning, but you mentioned earlier it maybe could have been Sunday. But I do remember it was damn early. I remember this must have been like a 6 a.m. show as well. And I remember watching this at my friend's house. This is called Battle of the Planets, right? Yep. And in, I think, Japan, it was called Gatchaman. But Battle of the Planets was cool. It was a bunch of characters. They kind of dressed like warriors, birds. But like birds, I guess. But Mark is the leader of the group, and he flew this like an airplane. And then Jason, and he drove like a car. Then the princess, who was princess, she, what did she have? A motorcycle, I think.
Right,
And then Kiop, which was... It was cool. He's a little kid, but to me, he was like an alien kid because he didn't look like normal.
He didn't speak a language. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Tiny, who is huge, and he drove like his tank, and they have all these five vehicles, and they'd all come together, and like kind of like dock with their plane called the Phoenix and stuff, and then they had this, you know, for whatever reason, every episode they had to like go like super fast, and so they had the fiery Phoenix, and the whole ship would turn into like a fiery bird. And then they, I think, run into things. But it was a neat show. They had this, one of their main robots, or I guess their connections to Earth, was this robot called Seven's Arc 7, who kind of looked like R2-D2, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he had like a cape and everything. And they're always fighting this guy. It was always like the same bad guy, Zoltar, who is, the guy just couldn't win. Like, he would fight him every single, it wasn't like a variety of bad guys. It was the same bad guy every single time. And he would fail. I guess he's kind of like Cobra Commander. You know, he just would always fail, and he had a report to somebody. I can't remember who it was, but he always had to be like, oh yeah, I screwed up those guys, whatever. But they had like weapons and superpowers, and they had this weird move where they would kind of like form like a human pyramid and stand on each other's shoulders, and they turn into this.
Yeah, and they spin around, right?
Yeah, and then as they're spinning, they were like throwing weapons and their boomerangs and stuff like that, and. It was such a cool show, and at the time period, you know, when you're like Robotech, for example, and Battle of the Planets, the art was different. You know, that anime style, which was very different than your typical Saturday morning cartoons, had a sense of realism to it. But they wore groovy clothes because it was like dressed in like the 70s and stuff, which is pretty funny. Yeah. But that was a great show, and Even how they interacted with each other between Jason and Mark, you know, who's the real leader between the two. And whenever I thought of that group, like Mark, Jason, Princess, Kiop, and Tiny, and then later on Voltron came around, I was like, hey, wait, are these the same guys? Because it was kind of like the same format.
Right. You know? It was the same kind of characters.
Yeah.
You know, the princess, the little guy, the big fat guy, and the two. You know,
and the two kind of sort of leaders, yeah.
Yeah, they were like leaders, but, you know, were they kind of rivals, but they were friends.
Sure.
I always thought, for a long time, I thought the name of that show was G-Force, because they were called G-Force at the
show. Well, they would say G-Force, yeah, and then they have, like, G-Force. A letter G on their belt or anything.
All right, for Gatchaman.
Gatchaman, yeah.
Yeah, but that was a great show, too. I mean, when they got on each other's shoulders and they spun around and did, like, the fire tornado or whatever, when they formed the Fiery Phoenix, it was just so awesome.
I dare you to look up their freaking theme song. It gives
that's a great goosebumps.
Yes. Oh, it's a great theme song. It's awesome.
It was like a classical, you know, because it had like strings and violins and trumpets in it. It's great. That's a great intro.
That's a sick intro. Man, that's a podcast. Cartoon theme songs. I can do that all day.
There you go.
All
day. Write it down.
All right.
All right, good one.
Okay, what do you
think? And I think this is my next one we're going to touch on, but I think overall it could be its own podcast. My last one is Land of the Lost, which is live action.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And it was a Sidney and Marty Krofft production. I think that could be its own podcast, Sidney and Marty Krofft shows.
Oh, for sure.
But I love Land of the Lost. Land of the Lost, the premise was Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. It was the greatest earthquake ever known. So basically, yeah, it's a father and his two children are river rafting or something like that. And an earthquake comes and they get sucked into a waterfall or something. And they wind up at the Land of the Lost. In the Land of the Lost. but it's weird creatures, dinosaurs there. They have to live in a cave. The whole premise of the show is them trying to get back home. But, you know, there's slee stacks, which are like humanoid dinosaurs that chase them all the time. You know, they have to run away from real dinosaurs. There's a slee stack that actually helps them.
Right.
I remember this one episode where and that's the thing about these theme songs. It tells you the whole premise of the show. So it was, Marshall was the father, Will was the son, and Holly was the daughter. And there's one episode that sticks out of my mind because they never got home, obviously, you know, but there's one episode where Holly runs into an adult version of herself. And at the end of the episode, the adult pretty much tells Holly, it's like, you guys do get home. Like, I can't help you get home today because this isn't how you get home, but you do get home. And it's just like this whole time travel thing where she runs into an adult version of herself.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
Sounds like Jumanji.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. But, you know, they had the creatures, the Sidney and Marty Krofft creatures, which was scary. I mean, the slee stacks are scary.
I was about to tell you that, man. As a kid, you know, I like the show, but this show scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, I had a hard time watching that show.
Yeah. But remember there was a brontosaurus that was like their friend?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But they always had to run from the T-Rex and the slee stacks, and there was just always danger everywhere.
Wasn't there a friendly slee stack, too? Or am I?
There was a friendly slee stack. I can't remember his name, though.
And wasn't there like a little monkey guy? Wasn't there like a little monkey guy?
Oh, yeah, you're right. The heck was his name?
I don't know, but he was like one of those annoying.
I hated him.
that little monkey guy, that guy freaked me out too.
Yeah, because didn't he have like brothers that used to beat him up or something?
Maybe.
Two brothers that used to beat him up all the time.
It was disturbing.
Yeah. It really was. Will Marshall, Holly Marshall, Rick Marshall. Chaka?
That's it. Yes. Hated that guy.
So Chaka, Enoch was the slee stack that helped them.
Yeah.
Slee stack leader, slee stack. Ta. Yeah, I think Ta and Zam were Chaka's brothers or whatever. He used to pick on them.
Right. Chaka. Yeah. Ugh. Creeped me out.
Yeah, Chaka was a little freaky.
Yeah. that whole show was freaky. Was there like black like mini pyramid that they had to go into once in a while?
Yeah, wasn't that what it's like? And they always had to avoid the slee stacks or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tell you, man. That's a creepy show. It was really good. Was. Yeah. good.
Yeah, it was a good show, but yeah.
It was neat to see like a live action kind of thing Saturday morning, you know? Those are pretty
neat. They made a movie of it a few years ago with what's his face?
Will Ferrell.
I don't think it did that well. And in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Will Ferrell's character was a park ranger, was a marshal. His name was Marshall Willenholly.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, Marshall Willenholly. Oh, his last name was Willenholly, and he was a marshal. Oh. So that's Kevin Smith's little homage. Yeah. But yeah, Land of the Lost was great. And again, Sid and Marty Krofft, we could talk an hour on them, and maybe we will.
Yeah.
Not today.
There you go. And my last one, again, another live-action show. This was like a combo show. I do remember it as a singular show. It was called Shazam at one time. And then they combined it. And there was another show called Isis. And then they just call it the Shazam Isis Power Hour, I think. And it was just a live-action show. And I really, as a kid, remember the Shazam live-action show. It's very different from the comic book. Well, not very different, but kind of different. It's not a kid. He's more like a teenager. And then he would go in the back of his RV. Maybe that's why I like RV so much. He'd go in the back of his RV, and he would talk to his elders. And when he talked to the elders, they were like cartoons, you know? But it was like a live-action show, and then he would say Shazam, and then he turns to Shazam. And then Isis was like this Egyptian heroine.
Isis is an Egyptian goddess, yeah.
Yeah, and she had her shows and stuff. And I wasn't really too keen on her show and stuff, but it was part of the show, but you would watch it. But yeah, I remember as a kid, I liked Shazam. I liked him a little more than Superman because, like, his cape was shorter. So if you put, like, a towel on your back, it would probably mimic more Shazam than Superman's because Superman's cape was longer. I used to like that show quite a bit. And, like when I was thinking of these shows, I was trying to do like a mini casting call in my head, like who could play these characters today. And do you know who? Did you remember that show, The Secret of Isis?
I don't remember Isis as much as I remember Shazam.
Yeah. Isis like would be Catherine Zeta-Jones. Can you see that? And then for Shazam, not Zachary Levi, but I was thinking,
why not? He's awesome.
The guy that played Colossus from the X-Men 2 movies, Daniel Cudmire, that guy. Because that dude's huge. Yeah. But I was thinking, like, who could stand next to Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck? Like, because they're
the Rock.
Both. And The Rock. You need someone huge and imposing, not freaking Zachary Levi. But, yeah, so that was my mini casting call on that show.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember Isis as much as I remember Shazam. In the same way, I don't remember Dinah Girl or Electric Girl or whatever. Electric Woman. Yeah, but I remember Shazam was pretty cool. It was cool to have a live-action superhero, too.
Yeah, kind of like the old Batman TV show.
Yeah, the old Batman, old Superman. Yeah,
those are cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, we were very fortunate in growing up in that time period. I know 90s kids... they fall back and you know they're in their kids that grew up in the 90s are in like in their late 20s, early 30s now, and the nostalgia is moving toward there and like Nickelodeon shows. You can see it if you're at the mall, you know, all these clothing and merchandise with Nickelodeon shows on them. We had three channels, very, you know, Saturday mornings and a couple hours before and after school to watch cartoons. That was it.
That's all you got.
That's all we got.
No
real VCRs or anything. So you had to make the most of it.
That's right.
And we did, man. We did. It was fun, man. I wonder. You know, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, my day, things are better. But I wonder, what kids, what their experiences are like now. You know, that's just me.
Well, today I can give an example. I think a lot of the younger kids, you know, because I see like the little kids, they're like watching a lot of YouTube videos of like video games, like people actually playing the game itself, they're really into those kind of things. It's really influential for them and stuff.
Do you think these memories would have been created if we had all this stuff on demand? Because you know what I'm doing when we're done? I'm getting a bowl of cereal and I'm going to sit in front of YouTube and try to find some of these cartoons. But do you think if we... because even the joy of waking up at 6, you don't have to worry about it. You know, you go, oh, I'll wake up, I recorded it, or it's on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that whole... It was what we had for ourselves. And look, we were kids, so we didn't have a lot of responsibility except to go to school. But that was it. That was like, this is my day off, and I'm going to sit in front of the TV. And,
oh, sure.
And the thing was, your parents left you alone because, you know, it's rare when you did anything before noon on a Saturday anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, your parents even kind of respected that. They're like, all right, you know, watch your TV.
Yeah.
There's nothing on for the parents. There's, you know. And that's gone now. There's like Channel 4, Channel 5. They don't have Saturday morning cartoons on anymore.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. You'll see like live action stuff, but not really cartoons. And it's not a thing, you know. But yeah, no, it was a cultural phenomenon for like, you know, the late 70s, 80s. You know, for 90s kids, I guess it'd be like Power Rangers and more of like the Pokemon and Dragon right. Ball Z and things like that. But
well, that's the thing. Yeah. As we were aging into high school and out of high school, that's when the WB and Fox started their cartoon slates.
Right.
And we, you know, if we ever do a show on the early 90s after school cartoons, I mean, Warner Brothers ruled that, right. you know, they had Batman Animated, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, X-Men, I think was X-Men a Saturday or weekly? It was a daily show.
Yeah, it was daily.
It was a daily show. Yeah. So Fox, you know, Fox Kids was huge if we ever wanted to do a show on that kind of stuff. But yeah, I feel very fortunate to have grown up and have those memories. You know, they're really, I'm not joking, dude. I'm having a bowl of cereal. I mean, it's going to be brand cereal, but it's going to be cereal. And skim milk.
Boy.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun, man. I like that.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. I'm glad we walked down memory lane for that one.
It's always fun doing things like that.
Tis.
And let me tell you, like, these aren't like the best cartoons. I mean, again, there must have been like a list of hundreds of cartoons that you and I both enjoyed, but these are the ones we just wanted to pick up.
Well, these are the ones that stuck out in my memory and the ones I could talk about and really enjoyed.
Yes, sir. Okay. We done?
We're done.
All right then.
plug our sites. Where can you get in touch with us?
Oh, sure. Anchor FM. So the Anchor app, you can find us on Nerd and Me on Facebook.com. Why do I say Facebook.com? I think that's understood. Nerd and Me Podcast, Instagram, Nerd and Me, Twitter, Nerd and Me Podcast, YouTube. We have a couple of videos there, Nerd and Me Podcast. If you're on Apple, iTunes, whatever, rate and review us if you can. And if you want to email us for whatever reason, nerdmepodcast@gmail.com. I'm pretty active with Instagram. I post polls, sending pictures up, mini conversations with some of the fans. So, if you like Instagram, we can be active there. What?
You remember how we did a, kind of a tournament of best Batman movies or best Batmans?
Oh yeah.
Maybe we should do that for Saturday morning cartoons.
Best Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah. Like a tournament, like. We'll do brackets and stuff.
That sounds interesting, but I think I'd rather do like hottest female cartoon character.
Hey now, that's a show in and of itself. But yeah, let's think about that. If we do it, then we could do we could follow up on that on another show.
That'd be fun. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Anything else? Nope. Catch us on the Week in Geek. Dropping every Wednesday or Thursday, where Alan and I discuss the week's worth of geek news. Preview for this week is Han Solo, or Solo, the Star Wars story. How did it do in the box office?
All right. Till next time.
Martha! Peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.